بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا مسدد قال حدثنا إسماعيل بن إبراهيم قال حدثنا زياد بن مخراق قال حدثني طيسلة بن مياس قال كنت مع النجدات فأصبت ذنوبا لا أراها إلا من الكبائر فذكرت ذلك لابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال ما هي قلت كذا وكذا قال ليست هذه من الكبائر هن تسع الإشراك بالله وقتل نسمة والفرار من الزحف وقذف المحصنة وأكل الربا وأكل مال اليتيم وإلحاد في المسجد والذي يستسخر وبكاء الوالدين من العقوق قال لي ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أتفرق من النار وتحب أن تدخل الجنة قلت إي والله قال أحي والداك قلت عندي أمي قال فوالله لو ألنت لها الكلام وأطعمتها الطعام لتدخلن الجنة ما اجتنبت الكبائر طيسلاه بن مياس says I was with the Najdat the companions of Amir ibn Najdah a leader of the deviated sect Al-Khawarij. Whilst in their company, فَأَصَبْتُ ذُنُوبًا I committed mistakes, sins. لَا أَرَاهَا مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ which I considered to be from the kabair only. I was sure that they were major sins. فَذَكَرْتُ ذَٰلِكَ لِبْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا After disassociating myself from the Najdat, I spoke to Abdullah ibn Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا regarding my mistakes and I mentioned these mistakes to him and I also mentioned that it is my belief that the mistakes that I have committed fall in the category of major sins. قَالَ مَا هِيَ Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma asked, what are they? قُلْتُ كَذَا وَكَذَا I said, such and such. I enumerated the mistakes to him. قَالَ لَيْسَتْ هَذِهِ مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ He said, these are not from the kabair. Hunna tis'un. The kabair are nine. The major sins are nine. Al-ishraku billah. Number one, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa qatlu nasamatin. Number two, killing someone, murdering someone. وَالْفِرَارُ مِنَ الزَّحْفِ Number three, fleeing from battle. وَقَذْفُ الْمُحْسَنَةِ Number four, accusing, slandering an innocent, chaste woman. وَأَكْلُ الرِّبَى Number five, taking usury. وَأَكْلُ مَالِ الْيَتِيمِ Number six, consuming the wealth of an orphan. Taking the property or the wealth of an orphan. Taking unlawfully the wealth or property of an orphan. This is also from the Kabair. In the Quran we find mention of this major sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ. Those people who consume the property, the wealth of orphans, those people who unlawfully take the wealth of the orphans and buy food and consume that food, or they use this wealth which is acquired unlawfully, the rightful owner of which is the orphan, and they use it for anything. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى. Those people who unlawfully hoard the wealth of the orphans, who take away the wealth of the orphans, ظُلْمًا, unlawfully, without justice. إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. They are in reality eating the fire of Jahannam. وَسَيَسْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. And for this crime, such people will enter the fire of Jahannam. It is a very grave sin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said in a hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uharriju maal al-dha'ifayin. There are two weak sectors, the female gender and the orphan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there are two weak sectors, the female gender, the women, and the orphans. Uharriju alaykum mal adh-dha'ifain. I am warning you regarding their wealth. That means, I am making a bequest that make sure you give them their due right. And I am warning you from taking their wealth in your possession unjustly, because it is a very severe crime and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you severely. In another hadith narrated by Abu Barzah al-Aslami radiyallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that on the day of Qiyamah, a group of people will be resurrected from their graves. And their condition will be that flames of fire will be raging in their mouths. So they will be resurrected from their graves and flames of fire will be emerging from their mouths and it will be raging, severe flames. So the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Ajmain asked, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam, manhum? Who are these people, O Rasulullah Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam? What will be their crime? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Alam tara anna Allah qal. Do you not see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said? Inna alladhina ya'kuluna amwal al-yatama dhulman. Those people who take away the wealth of the orphans,
unjustly.
إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارَ. They are eating the fire of Jahannam. They are entering in their bellies, their stomachs, the fire of Jahannam.
They will not be able to feel it in this very world. But when the time comes, then this fire will show its effect. It is like somebody playing with a matches, a young child playing with matches. Somebody will say, oh, he is playing with fire. It's not fire at the moment. The matchstick or the matchbox is not fire at the moment, but people will say, oh, he's playing with fire.
That means when this matchstick or these matches will show their effect, it will be real fire.
So these people who are consuming the wealth of the orphans, this is not wealth, this is not something to enjoy, it is in reality fire. But they will only realize that this is fire when this fire will show its effect when they are resurrected on the day of Qiyamah.
Imam Suddi, rahimahullah ta'ala, a leading mufassir, commenting on this verse of the Quran, he says that the person who consumes the wealth of the orphan will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, and his state will be that fire will be emerging from his mouth, fire will be emerging from his nose, fire will be emerging from his ears, and fire will be emerging from his eyes.
And Imam Suddi rahimahullah ta'ala says that this will be the trademark of the one who had treated the orphan unjustly and who had taken away his wealth unjustly. So on the day of Qiyamah, each person, whenever he will come across someone from whose mouth, from whose nostrils, from whose eyes, from whose ears, fire will be emerging without asking anybody, without anybody telling them, they will know that this is the person who has committed this crime. He was unjust to the orphans. Our deen, our religion is Islam. And this is the deen, this is the religion chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the humanity. This is not a new religion. Islam was the religion of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. Islam was the religion of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Islam was the religion of Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. Ma kana Ibrahimu Yahudiyam wala Nasraniya, walakin kana Hanifan Muslima.
Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam was a Muslim.
وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَمْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِيهَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَقَدْ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
The Rabb of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam said to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, submit, become a Muslim. He said, أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I have become a Muslim. I have submitted myself to Rabbul Alameen. Muslim is he who submits his will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
This was the millah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. This was the path of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This was the creed of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was a Muslim.
And further Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَسَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ. At the time of departure from this world, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam and Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam,
both Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam and Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam made bequest to their children that hold fast to Islam, hold fast to this creed and this millah, which the millah of submission, the millah of Islam.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ.
Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen this deen, this religion, this path for you. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ.
You should never die but as Muslims. This is what Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam and Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam are emphasizing to their children before departing from this world.
لَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Adam alayhi salatu wassalam came with the religion Islam. When after his departure, many years passed, changes occurred,
another prophet was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reform Islam and make it better, make it correct, to remove the mistakes, to remove the changes.
It was reformed. After the departure of the second prophet,
many years passed, changes again took place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent another prophet, another messenger.
Each prophet came with the religion Islam. Inna deena indallahi al-Islam. The religion in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only Islam. Inna deena indallahi al-Islam.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his final messenger, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, completed this religion. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. This day I have perfected for you your religion.
This day I have perfected for you your religion. Each Nabi came with Islam. But it was incomplete. It was complete for his era. Incomplete
as far as its future was concerned. During his era, during his time, the teachings of Islam was sufficient. It was complete for that era. It fulfilled all the needs of that era, of his time. But looking at Islam in the future, it was incomplete because it was going to change when a new prophet came. Again, it was going to change when a new prophet came.
Finally, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam arrived. After our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, there is no Nabi to come. Islam has reached its final destination. It has reached completion.
Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. The deen that was left incomplete by Isa alayhi salatu wassalam is now complete. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and I have fulfilled my favor upon you.
Wa raditu lakum al-islam deena, and I have chosen for you Islam. Islam is a complete religion.
Now it is complete. No messenger will come after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No decrease, increase, addition, subtraction is required in this system which was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is required.
It is complete. It will fulfill the needs of humanity to come until the Day of Judgment.
The Quran is one source of guidance. And the first commentary of the Quran, the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, is the second source of guidance.
And the ulama
who have been granted special insight by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those chosen to guide humanity in the light of the Quran and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the al-ulama ur-rasikhuna fil ilm, those ulama who have firmness in their knowledge,
The al-ulama'ur rabbaniyun, those ulama who are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, genuine, sincere.
Allah grants them special abilities to understand the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they deduce principles from the Quran and the hadith,
and through those principles, the fuqaha, the jurists, the muftis,
the ulama will deduce masail
according to the need of the people. When people will put forward a query to a mufti,
the mufti will refer to the masail and the rulings that have been deduced by these experts.
Many a times they will refer to the principles deduced by the experts, deduced from the Quran and the Hadith.
And these masail and these principles that have been deduced in the light of the Quran and Hadith is known as fiqh.
So there are two sources of guidance, Quran and the Hadith.
And for guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses certain people, He gives them the expertise, He grants them the ability to deduce principles for guidance, deduce masail for practicing. These principles and these masail that have been deduced from the Quran and Hadith is known as fiqh. And this fiqh is also Quran and Sunnah.
This fiqh is also Quran and Sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to grant ability to certain individuals in every era, even in this day and age. We will have ulama who have the expertise to deduce Sharia rulings. If any new scenario was to be put forward to a mufti today, that this is a new scenario, and we have not come across any ruling from any mufti in the past regarding this scenario, because this scenario has taken place today. What is the Sharia ruling? You will always find somewhere in the world a person who will have the ability to deduce from either the Quran, either the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the principles that have been formed by the experts in the past, or from the masail that have been deduced by the fuqaha. This expert will be able to deduce the correct ruling, and he will be able to guide you and me. And this will continue until the day of Qiyamah, inshallah. So now, after the advent of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Islam has been completed, and whatever he has left behind in the form of Quran, in the form of Ahadith, and thereafter, whatever the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, and the Tabi'in, and the Taba Tabi'in, the Muhaddisin, the Fuqaha, and the Ulama, the experts of the Ummah have left behind as principles of fiqh or the Masail. This will be sufficient for guidance for the whole of humanity until the day of Qiyamah. Not a single scenario will arise until the day of Qiyamah where the ulama or the muftis or the jurists will have to concede and say, we cannot guide you, we cannot say whether it is permissible, it is not permissible. Sorry. No, not a single scenario will arise, inshallah. Because Allah has said, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that each and everything that was to bring you nearer to Jannah and take you far away from Jahannam. That means each and every good. And each and everything that was to take you nearer to Jahannam and far away from Jannah. That means each and every evil. I have explained it to you. I have mentioned it to you. Either clearly or not so clearly, but the expert will be able to understand. And they will be able to make you understand. It is a complete code of life. Islam is not a religion of certain rituals that you have to perform once in a year or once in a month or once in a week. No, it is a complete code of life. Islam will guide you and me. Islam will guide a Muslim who submits to the will of his Creator in everything that he does from morning till evening and from evening till morning. It is a very comprehensive religion. And why should it not be comprehensive? When the one who has sent this system from the heavens is the knower of the unseen. He is the one who has complete knowledge of everything that is to happen until the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to appreciate this system. And part of this system is justice. Justice is a cornerstone of this system. Justice. Aate kulli dhi haqqin haqqahu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, give everybody his due right. Give each person his due right. Ja'far at-Tayyar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the uncle of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, in the court of Negus Najashi, when he got up to explain what Islam is, he said, Al-Qawiyu minna ya'kulu al-Za'if. Our condition was that the strong used to eat away the poor, the weak. The strong amongst us used to eat away. Used to destroy the weak. If you look at the history, before the advent of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the weak sectors had no rights whatsoever. The women had no rights. The poor had no rights. The orphan had no right. The widows had no rights. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam restored the rights of each and every sector, especially the weak sector. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the verse of the Quran and through his ahadith, declared the consumption of the wealth of the orphan, taking away unlawfully, unjustly, the wealth and property of any orphan, male, female, from the kabair. It is a major sin. And give severe warnings. And on the other hand, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam declared great virtues for those people who look after these weak sectors. Let us go through some of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam where he is encouraging his ummah by mentioning so many virtues to look after this weak sector, the orphans. Hazrat Sahl radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Ana wa kafirul yateem fil jannati haakada. Ana, I, and the one who looks after the yateem will be like this in Jannah. Ana wa kafirul yateem fil jannati haakada. And Sahl radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, when he said this, he put together his finger of shahada, the finger that we raise when we say Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah in tashahud, the finger of shahada, and the finger next to it, the middle finger. So index finger and the middle finger, he put them together. And after putting them together, وَفَرَّجَ بَيْنَهُمَا شَيْءٍ, he separated them a little, indicating that this person who looks after an orphan will be very close to me in Jannah. There will be a difference because I am Sayyidul Mursaleen. But he will not be too far away from me. وَفَرَّجَ بَيْنَهُمَا شَيْءٍ, a little bit. He will be very, very close to me in Jannah. His status will be very close to my status. So on one side, to restore the rights of this weak sector, the orphans, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is declaring the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that such a person will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah in this state, in this state, in this state. And on the other hand, to restore the rights of this weak sector, the orphans, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is declaring virtues, that the person who looks after one yatim, ana wa kafilul yatim, the one who looks after one yatim, he will be very close to me in Jannah. One yatim only. The one who looks after two yatim, the virtue is even more greater. The one who looks after three yatim, three orphans, the virtue is even more greater. We have the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, one who looks after three orphans, one who looks after three orphans, then this person is as if who is making qiyamul layl on a daily basis, and who is fasting daily. One who is looking after three orphans is like a person who is standing in qiyam during the night daily, who is fasting daily, and he is like the person who goes striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be getting the reward of jihad on a daily basis. And again, I and he will be in Jannah like this. The index finger and the middle finger, he put them together again. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically, or where the Sahabi radiyallahu anhu has specifically mentioned, وَفَرَّجَ بَيْنَهُمَا شَيْئًا, that he separated the two fingers slightly. The meaning of I and he will be in Jannah like this, they're very, very close to each other. And where the narrator of the hadith, the Sahabi radiyallahu anhu, does not mention this, and he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam put the two fingers together and he said, I and he will be like this in Jannah. He said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is referring to the difference in the length of the two fingers. He said, there is not much difference between the index finger and the middle finger. So he said, in Jannah he will be very close to me. Very close to me. I am the middle finger and he is the index finger. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala narrates another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he mentions certain a'mal, that any person who carries out these amal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَنِي بِالْحَقِّ لَا يُعَذِّبُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The person, those people who carry out certain amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish them on the day of Qiyamah. وَالَّذِي بَعَثَنِي, I swear by the one who has sent me with the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish on the day of Qiyamah the following people. Who are they? Number one, man rahim al yatim, one who shows mercy to the orphan. One who shows mercy. One who just shows mercy, smiles with him, smiles
out of mercy, feeling for him. This is also showing mercy. Strokes his head, that is also showing mercy. Allah will not punish him on the day of Qiyamah. Who shows mercy to the yatim. Walana lahu fil kalam. One who speaks to him gently. Warahima yutmahu wa da'fahu. Who feels sorry because he is an orphan. And who feels sorry because he is weak. All associated and related to the orphan. And the last action. One who has been granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a particular ni'mah, a particular blessing. Allah granted him ilm, or Allah granted him wealth. Allah granted him many children, obedient children. Allah granted him a good home, a factory. He does not look down upon his neighbor because his neighbor is deprived of that favor which Allah has granted him. He treats his neighbor with kindness, with humbleness. He does not let him feel deprived. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save this person also from the punishment of the day of Qiyamah. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has said that the person who brings a yatim, an orphan in his home, and who looks after that yatim, who feeds that yatim, who clothes that yatim, who looks after that yatim until that yatim becomes independent, what will Allah grant him? Wajabat lahul jannah. Jannah will become incumbent for him. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And Abu Umama radiyallahu anhu narrates a hadith wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said that one who strokes the head of a yatim, one who strokes the head of a yatim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he strokes only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lam yamsahhu illa lillah. Then the number of hair that his hand will cover whilst he strokes the head of this orphan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him equal number of hasanat in the hereafter. Just stroking the head of a yatim. Stroking the head of a yatim. And in another hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best house in the Muslim community is that house in which there is an orphan and he is looked after well by the people of that house. The best house within the Muslim community is that house wherein there is an orphan, whether that orphan belongs to that very family or he is an orphan from a strange family which has been adopted into that home. The best house amongst the within the Muslim community is that house in which there is an orphan, yuhsanu ilayhi, who is treated kindly by the family. And the worst house within the Muslim community is that house wherein there is an orphan but he is mistreated by the family. So my friends, we learn from today's discussion that those people who treat the orphans unjustly are disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people who treat the orphans justly, they are very much liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show them mercy in this world. Allah will show them mercy in the hereafter. So what we need to do is to take stock of our lives. Have we disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this respect? If we have, then we need to repent. We need to repent and we need to ask forgiveness from those orphans whose rights we have violated. This is the first thing we need to do. Number two, after repenting, we must make sure that we look after these orphans. If we still owe them anything, then we need to return what we owe them. And finally, if we have not yet had the opportunity of acquiring the virtues mentioned in the ahadith by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam by looking after orphans, then let us make a firm resolution that from today we will look for opportunities where we are able to look after orphans. We can get in touch with the charities. They have schemes, orphan schemes, whereby we are able to look after orphans. Those people who have the ability may adopt orphans and look after them. And whenever we come across any orphan, orphan is a very, very weak sector. If you look around, if somebody's mother has passed away, if somebody's father has passed away, he is mistreated even by the family. Stepmother, stepfather mistreated. And after marriage, even the father or even the mother will give preference to the children of the other husband or the other wife. They have no rights. Only an orphan knows what it is like to be an orphan. Only an orphan knows what it is like to be an orphan. An orphan, even when he comes to the masjid, and if he is living in a society where the musallis know that he doesn't have a father, he doesn't have a mother, certain musallis will bully him. If he makes a very little mistake, and people will pounce on him, jump on him. No rights whatsoever. People take away his wealth, his property. He will be treated like a slave in the home by the relatives, by the stepfather, stepmother. And he will be treated like a third grade citizen by everybody in the community. Remember that this life, this worldly life, will not remain forever and ever. A time will come when after 50 years, 60 years, this orphan will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will also return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for all the unjust things that he had to tolerate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him with Jannah. And for our crimes against him, we will be punished in the hereafter, in the everlasting life. So let us go from here with a new focus, inshallah, that we will be fair to yatim, we will show them love, we will show them kindness, we will show them compassion, and we will look for orphans, and we will look after orphans. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa laqibatu lil muttaqeen, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله، عاجله وآجله، ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم، ونعوذ بك من الشر كله، عاجله وآجله، ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم.
اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل، ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا مقبولا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع وقلب لا يخشى ودعاء لا يسمع. اللهم زيننا بالعلم وجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان وجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولأهلينا ولأقاربنا ولمحبينا ولمحسنينا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات. إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم.